It is, I am a student on the higher side of hours. I had to switch instructors, schools, and was a slow learner. And now that I found my instructor, I've been training for over 8 months and haven't soloed yet. I'm very close. How can I show my instructor I'm ready for solo? I'm graduating high school next year and want to continue aviation, but not many colleges offer aviation programs and majors. And I'm definitely someone who wants the college experience, but I definitely want to further my aviation career and attain my commercial license after my PPL. What do you guys think the best path is, and how can college benefit or harm my aviation journey?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com. And let us be your co-pilot on this adventure. Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on our third and final part of this three-part series of listener questions. And I am so excited to be here. It is a fantastic year. And so far, it's only been 2 weeks, but I am maybe 3 weeks. I don't know when this episode will come out, but it'll be 2 or 3 weeks by that time. And I am so excited that we're getting to do this. And it's feeling a lot more natural, Carson, this whole video thing. I can't wait to get more episodes out. And by the way, if you're listening to us, please subscribe to us on YouTube. It's huge for us. I know we normally say it at the end, but I'm going to say it at the beginning before you tune out at the end because you've already heard our exit so many times. So please like us and subscribe on YouTube. It'll really help us grow our podcast. So Carson, what are we doing today?
Today, we're going to answer some more listener questions. These ones are not as easy as the last ones. Sorry, they're not just going to be softball questions.
Do I need to have my notes out? ChatGPT ready or what? Is it that hard?
No, it's not that hard. It's just a little more thought. These are some pretty intricate questions and these mean a lot to people.
Really?
Yeah. All right. You ready?
How much do they mean?
I don't know. Well, we could probably find out when we get an email back from someone saying,
hey, this was a terrible answer.
Or a really great answer like Brandon usually gives.
All right, Carson, what is the first question of the day? Or should I ask you one? You know what? I'm switching it up. This is not a listener question. This is a Brandon question. Two-part question. Carson, what was the most difficult thing for you when you were learning to fly? And what is something you are still afraid of in an airplane?
Okay, I'll start with the second part first because everything scares me. I'm just scared all the time. No, I think what scares me the most still is getting into more severe turbulence, like moderate to severe turbulence. When I'm flying alone, scares me. If I have someone there, I'm not actually that scared of it, especially if I have a passenger, because I just have to act a little more stoic and like I know what I'm doing so they don't freak out.
Act like you know what you're doing? Is that what you just said? Act?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I have to just have everything together a little bit better. When I have a passenger there and, you know, there's no room to make that passenger nervous because that's not going to help anybody. But flying alone in moderate to severe turbulence still makes me nervous. Not really scares me because I definitely know that I know what I'm doing and I know how to handle the situation. And I know that turbulence doesn't bring down planes. The pilot's action does. I mean, I keep all that in my mind. So it doesn't scare me, but it makes me nervous. It makes my hands sweat and grip the controls a little tighter because it feels like someone's trying to take the controls away from me. But I know that I'm going to get through it. I know that I've always gotten through it. So that definitely calms my nerves a little bit. But yeah, that part still makes me nervous. And the first part of that question was the most difficult thing for me to really get through. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
I think it was landings.
The easiest thing in aviation was the hardest thing for you? I'm just kidding. That's normally the hardest thing for most people.
Landing, there was a certain part. It's hard to explain unless you've experienced this and overcome this. But there's a certain part you get to where landings make sense. Not just the idea that I'm landing an airplane, but breaking it down into different segments of the landing. Like when to pull power out and when you're floating, when you're coming in too high. And knowing that you know, those two white, two red lights are going to turn into three white and one red, or the vice versa, one red and three white. You know, you just know where you are and what actions you're taking are going to cause that. And I think understanding that pulling power out is slowly going to make you lose some altitude, and understanding that adjustment and the exchange of power for altitude and pitch for airspeed is something that makes the entire world a difference. Actually getting to the point where I understood that is challenging, I think.
Yeah, I think it resonates for a lot of people, by the way. I was thinking through my head while you're talking about that, like, what makes it so I can just land an airplane from, I don't know, if I'm super high, I might have to go around and go do a lap in the pattern and drop, right? But I mean, I can manipulate an airplane most ways, most airplanes, not all, by the way, but most small airplanes on to do what I want to do. Like if I want to drop altitude at 1,000 feet a minute, I know exactly how to do that, right? If I want to come in a nice, stable, normal approach, I know how to do that too. And I was just thinking, and when I get close to the ground, if everything's all messed up, I know how to fix it immediately and just, oh, I'll still touch down on the ground perfectly, even if the whole thing was all messed up, right? Or if my student messed it all up. I think that's just something you learn to manipulate the airplane over time. Yeah, I could see why that's so difficult for a student. And I normally tell everybody when they're learning to fly, there's going to be a day, and you're talking about that day a second ago, that everything is just going to click and it's just going to make sense. Landing that airplane is just going to make sense. So I can't wait for our producer, Mark, to actually go fly an airplane so we can understand this, because I don't think he's flown yet and we have to bring him up, especially when he comes out to the U.S. to come visit us.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun day of getting to actually show him what a stall was, like we talked about a couple episodes ago.
Absolutely. Or put him into a spin.
Oh, man. I think I sent him a video of a spin so he understood what I was talking about.
Oh, nice. My turn now. What's the question for me you got?
It is, I am a student on the higher side of hours. I'm not sure exactly what that means. It could be 40, could be 80, could be 150, but okay. I had to switch instructors, schools, and was a slow learner. And now that I found my instructor, I've been training for over 8 months and haven't soloed yet. I'm very close. How can I show my instructor I'm ready for solo? For reference, my main struggles are over-relying on him and difficulties multitasking in a traffic pattern, which can be overwhelming.
Multitasking in a traffic pattern is overwhelming. Let's start off with that. Number one, ask your instructor if you can go to another airport and go practice there where there's less distractions. And then while you're there, I have a feeling this instructor, I have a feeling it's not just you. I have a feeling it's also the instructor. By the way, there's always like two parts to everything. And I think the instructor probably overteaches and you probably are over-reliant. And when you have those types of people together, it's very difficult to get to the next stage, right? Like me, if you were asking me a million questions, I would just turn it back on you and be like, what do you think? How do you want to do this? Or I would just shut up. You would ask questions and I just wouldn't answer the question until you made it unsafe, right? Because I bet you if you're a higher time pilot, you already know the answers to all the questions. You just want confirmation and you keep on asking for that confirmation and your instructor keeps giving it to you. One, tell your instructor to stop giving you the confirmation, let you make the mistakes. Learn from them.
And I've seen students say those exact words to an instructor.
You should. You should tell the instructor, stop helping me. I mean, at some point, the instructor obviously needs to make sure it's safe and will help you. But you need to tell them, if you're in the traffic pattern and you're above 200 feet over the ground, there's nothing you can do in that airplane besides get into a spin on a turn and get way too slow that an instructor can't fix, right? An instructor can watch your airspeed and watch how much you're pulling back on the control wheel to know if you're going to exceed the critical angle of attack, right? So, and get into a low altitude spin. So an instructor can stop you from doing those things very easily by just pushing forward on that control wheel very simply, right? You should just let yourself make more mistakes. And I bet you're not making that many. Tell the instructor to back off unless you are critically failing at certain things. Now, if you are critically failing at certain things, you also need to be aware of those things. And you need to say, hey, if I am critically failing at something, or if I'm getting us really close to killing us, I need you to step in. But if I'm really far from that, I want you to let me make the mistakes and guide me after we're done, or talk me through what I did right and what I did wrong. Those are really ways that you learn. And I would get away from the distractive airport and go to a different airport, one that's close by. Let the instructor even make the radio communications if need be at this new airport, just so you can get the landings down. And then you can integrate back in the radio communications at that slower airport and then integrate them into your busier airport. That's how I'd go about it.
Yeah. I've talked about it a few times, but you know, I hit that wall where I could not get past certain parts of my landing and I just couldn't get it right. And this was before, again, that everything just clicked that day, which everyone will have, but it was before that point. And I just spent hours. I think I had like 27 landings in a day. Like we just hammered it out. Until, you know, I would do one, he would do one, I would do one, he would do one, until, you know, something clicked and got me past that point. And again, there might be a disconnect between you and your instructor, but the instructor is not going to sign you off to solo until they know you're going to be safe. So obviously there's a disconnect somewhere, and doesn't hurt to ask your instructor, get a list and start working on it like a checklist.
That's a great question, Carson. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
All right, next question. I'm graduating high school next year and want to continue aviation, but not many colleges offer aviation programs and majors. I know Purdue is the only college in the U.S. with its own private airport, and I'm definitely someone who wants the college experience, but I definitely want to further my aviation career and attain my commercial license after my PPL. What do you guys think the best path is, and how can college benefit or harm my aviation journey? I know you have some strong opinions on this, Brandon, so.
Very strong opinions on this, by the way. And I am very glad you said, I want the college experience. Because if you wouldn't have said that, I would have a different answer. The fact that you want the college experience, you should go get a college experience and go do something outside of aviation. Do whatever your second choice is for life. Go do that. If it's mathematics, if it's teaching, if it's history, whatever it might be, go do that. Hopefully it's something that'll pay really well because you want to be able to fall back. If you end up having a major medical situation and you can't fly for a living anymore, you want to fall back. So if you want that college experience, go do the college experience and go find a local airport that you could go learn to fly and go get your private and instrument and commercial and go do it slowly and go do it over those 3 or 4 years. The only thing that you have to know is that you're probably accepting about $1 million in lost revenue in your lifetime or more, up to 1.5, you're losing that amount of money in your lifetime for the college experience. So you need to ask yourself, is it worth it? Because this means you're not going to go work in an airline for another 4 years later or 5 years later, and you're going to lose whatever those years are at the top end of your pay scale when you're in your 60s, because now you have less time to fly. So just know you're giving up that money in your lifetime. Now that money is not realized now, it's realized later. So you're giving up that money in your lifetime to have the college experience. Now, I will preface this with, I'd never had the college experience, and I really, now that I'm in my late 30s, I wish I would have had it. And now I feel like I could go have it today, right? I feel like, oh, I could just go to college, and then I go look around, and I feel like there's children running around me. So I can never have that. I mean, it's just not possible. Now, I could go have the degrees and things like that. I can get it, actually. I can get, I think, almost 3.5 years, at, depending on what college is. I can transfer all my pilot certificates and past college credits into a degree if I want one today. So I could still do that today. Now, if you want to go a different route and that money did matter to you, then I would go get all my ratings at a local school, and then I would transfer those to an online degree program. But then you're giving up that college experience. That would be the best bet. I would say do both in tandem. If you don't want the college experience, do both in tandem. I would say go get all your ratings and then transfer those ratings to a collegiate program like Liberty University's got a really cool one. Spartan has a really great one that transfers all of it that I know several people have finished. And then Purdue also has a good program. And I know there's a new local school that Purdue has created a pilot program with, which is really funny to say, in Florida. And they are a Stratus partner as well. So I would go check that out.
That's some good advice. Yeah, I think that the college experience is pretty valuable. You know, it teaches you how to be an adult, how to be on your own for the first time, how to be responsible for a lot of your own actions. But again, 1 to 1.5 million in your lifetime, of course, is a pretty big deal. And I think we've talked about pilot pay scales a little bit the last couple of weeks or months. And we've touched on it. The last few years of you being a pilot are going to be the biggest paying years, your highest paychecks and most earning potential. So that's something that you have to look at for future you, but you also have to look out for present you, right? So you have to figure out what you want to do the most and pull the trigger on it. There's nothing's going to hurt you.
By the way, I'm a big proponent of one thing I say all the time, and it's that I live my life with zero regrets in anything. It's because at that moment of my life, it's exactly what I wanted. And I truly believe that still today, even though there's certain things that are probably not the best things that I've made decisions in my life. And at the time, when I look back, oh, maybe I should have done this. I could have done this. Yeah, of course. But in that moment of my life, it's exactly what I wanted. So I don't live life with any regrets. And I encourage people to take in that philosophy, because it really helps me kind of rationalize with my dumb 18-year-old self making irrational decisions, right? Because it's what I like to do and it's what I wanted to do at the time, right? So I would take that perspective on and just know that your decisions you make today, they will affect your future. I told my son Austin this when he broke his collarbone. I told him, you got to be careful on that bike, because he's got one of those e-bikes, and then he broke his collarbone and now he's got a messed up shoulder like I do. And I said, you will do things today that will affect you for the rest of your life. So just know that it will affect you and make that decision today, not lightly, with a lot of thought. And just know that don't live your life with any regrets. Don't look back in 4 years and say, oh, I can't believe I went to college. I just gave up all this money later on in my life and I didn't even have a good time in college, right? Maybe you did, maybe you won't, but it's that gamble you have to take and make the best out of it. So there's my unsolicited advice for the day.
Two things. First, I'm putting down the quote list. That's going in bold. It's a great one.
I've had that one for 20 years, so that's a good one. It's a long-standing one that hasn't changed.
Yeah, you should try that one. That's good advice. Second off, I don't think I can beat that. So I think we should wrap that up. I think you should take us out. This might be a little of a shorter episode, Brandon, but I think that was a good note to end on.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you all for listening today, as usual. Keep in mind, we have the Aero Summit coming up, Carson. And do you want to tell everybody about Aero Summit and when it is and where it is?
Yeah, Brandon, I'm happy to tell you. So that's going to be May 21st through the 23rd at the Wynn in Las Vegas. Nowhere better in Las Vegas. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of great speakers. And that happens in, at the time of recording, it happens in about 120, 130 days. So that's not too far out.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, it'll be somewhere around 100 days. So I'm excited for it. I mean, it's going to be a fantastic event for flight school owners, instructors to come out, and several, and of course, our student pilots. So you can come and network and learn from great professionals in the industry, kind of ins and outs of flight school operations, ins and outs of who's hiring, how to get some information on your career path, and really get to know some of the airlines out there that are hiring. It's going to be fantastic. So can't wait to see all of you there. But outside of that, if you are a student pilot or you are a flight instructor, we're giving away either free or super cheap tickets. Mark will have them in the show notes below. You'll have the codes. If you want to check that out, go to stratusaerosummit.com and check out the event and you can sign up there. Again, that'll be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on our emails, brandon@aviationmentors.com. Or for Carson, it's carson@aviationmentors.com. Also, don't forget to like, stream, follow, subscribe, all of the things, depending on what streaming platform you're listening to us on, or I'm hopefully watching us on YouTube now. Don't forget to hit subscribe below and check us out more on YouTube. So thanks again for helping us grow the podcast and really helping us grow the aviation community in whole. We're really excited to be helping out in any and all ways we can.
I love seeing Brandon so excited. He just can't even talk straight. It's amazing.
It's always true. It always happens.
And as a wrap up for the day, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.